Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Time Spent Poorly Show with your hosts, Eduardo and Old Huds himself. Tonight's special guest is Brother Ron. Here's a short clip of tonight's show to whet your appetite.
Fights with no stakes don't mean anything. They look pretty, but whoop you fucking do. And I'm sorry, but the end fight between Anakin and Obi-Wan, it looks pretty.
Yeah.
But it goes on about 15 minutes too long. And it's just them blowing themselves with cool kung fu lightsaber moves. What do you fucking do?
Wow, pretty exciting stuff right there, am I right? If you want to learn more about who we are, go to timespentpoorly.com. Everything you need to know from past largely evergreen episodes, future live broadcasts of this show, as well as other shows on our network, it's right there and easy to find on the site. There's also a link to our Patreon if you find yourself compelled to support one of your favorite shows hosted by any of these nobodies from the Pacific Northwest. Without any further hindrance, let's check in with the guys. Here are your hosts, Eduardo and Huds, with special guest Brother Ron.
Watched Knives Out yesterday, actually.
That movie was great.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't like the direction that he took the accent, though.
The Southern.
I'm a huge Daniel Craig fan, but the way he took that accent was not good.
It was crazy.
Did you see Logan Lucky?
Yeah.
Logan
so
Lucky was,
it was hilarious.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Super funny.
Yeah.
A film full of people who don't get the recognition they deserve.
It's funny how much I dislike Kylo Ren, but how much I like Adam Driver's work. Other than Star Wars,
Kylo Ren is the best character in the new Star Wars trilogy, which admittedly is not saying much.
I don't agree. I think he's probably the best acted character. I guess
it's not Rey.
I don't think anybody's that
good.
And
it's not Poe, and it's not Finn, and it's not Hux. So who is it?
I don't know. You mean Snoke? I don't know. Maybe he is, but I guess it's not saying much.
It's a really fucking low bar to clear, but he's one of the only characters in the entire series that actually has a fucking arc.
Yeah, you might be right. I don't know. It's just so fucking
bad.
Yeah,
it is.
None of it holds up after
yeah,
the first.
It's really bad.
Like the second movie or the second of the third trilogy is an absolute abortion.
But
it's just too long. Nothing happens.
Yes.
It's a chase movie.
Jake
Daniel Craig was a stormtrooper.
Daniel Craig was the stormtrooper that got the he was the one that Rey played the mind trick on.
Yeah. She Obi-Wan'd him.
Yeah.
That's why people thought he was she was Obi-Wan. I knew she was a Palpatine from the first fucking lightsaber fight.
I would have liked
Alex and I went to see it, and when Palpatine says that he's his granddaughter. He's like, Dad, you were right. I was like, yeah, there's nothing I like hearing more than one
Dad,
of my children
right.
telling me I was right.
The thing is with going off of what Matthew's saying there about liking Finn.
They didn't give him anything.
He from the first movie, and it's so fucking frustrating. They had all this thrust to do with Rey about where they could go with her character
mm-hmm.
and why she was the way that she was from the first movie. They had Finn, who was the idea of we've watched Star Wars movies, us, for literally the entirety of our lives, because
right.
they came out before we were fucking born. Stormtroopers were nobodies.
Mm-hmm.
And then the prequel movies came out, and it was like, okay, well, they were kind of like eventually they became nobodies, but initially they were like clones and they were literally mindless. But then eventually those had to die. So then they indoctrinated people and whatnot. And so the natural progression of that was what they did with Finn, which was you're going to have indoctrinated people who don't go along with what you're doing.
Yeah, it doesn't always
take. They had this brilliant idea of what it would be like to have a stormtrooper turncoat, and they did fuck nothing with it.
Yeah.
Like, at all. By the third movie, he might as well have not even been a stormtrooper.
Yeah, they sent him off to Canto Bight in the second one.
Seriously, it was meaningless.
And then they tried at the end to, like,
anyway,
shoulder in a little bit of
seriously. I'm sorry. I could sit here and I could talk for fucking hours about how much I hate the new Star Wars movies. Like, seriously, if you haven't picked up on that, I because they, like I said, it's not like Game of Thrones where you took a TV show that I watched for several years and you made me dislike it. You took one of my favorite things. I used to laugh at people who talked about George Lucas raped my childhood with the prequels, with the midichlorians and all the bullshit that the prequels involve. The first movie has nothing to do with Star Wars at all. It's literally a fucking space politics movie. Like, you can talk all you want about those. The sequel trilogy literally undid the goodwill of Star Wars.
Yeah, I can see that. I
fucking hate it. They didn't just ruin their three movies. They diminished the quality of the six movies that came before.
I could take or leave the prequel movies.
And you know, the original trilogy isn't that great as an adult either. Empire. They are children's movies. Empire's good.
Star Wars, New Hope is a solid adventure movie for the family.
Yeah.
Empire is right up there with like Ghostbusters and Gremlins and like, I would challenge someone to find something wrong.
They're fun to watch in succession all together.
Yes. Return of the Jedi.
It's a toy commercial.
Suffers from being a toy commercial. While the only stuff that really has weight is Luke and Vader and the Emperor. Everything else, it was like, well, we don't really know what to do with these guys, but we need this payoff with Luke and Vader and the Emperor.
And we need to put out another Han Solo.
I
mean,
we have to fucking have Han Solo in the movie. I wish they would have given Harrison Ford his wishes and let him fucking die in Empire. It would have really had some weight to it.
Yeah.
The prequels. Episode one is dreadfully boring. Episode two should have been episode one. Anakin should have never been a kid. We should have never had Qui-Gon Jinn. We should have had.
And that kid never should have had to go through what he went through.
We should have had the prequel series start with Anakin in training and Obi-Wan as the Qui-Gon figure. And Obi-Wan is this stoic, staunch, Obi-Wan-esque figure. And Anakin is trying to emulate him, but struggling. And Padme is his love interest, who is tempting him to not go with what he knows he should go with, and blah, 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 but we can't make the woman the bad guy because that would not play well.
Because that doesn't emulate real life.
We can't make it seem like he's... Because, again, go back to the second movie when they actually have a relationship and Anakin is not a child. Padme's only argument that they can't date is that she works in politics. What the fuck does that have to do with anything? But she still continues to pursue him. She still continues to go after him. Then you have the third movie, which the only good parts of it, I love you, Wayne. I know you're not watching. The lightsaber fights are cool, but I don't need my fucking movie to be a video game. If I want to play a video game, I'll play a video game. I don't need a 20-minute lightsaber fight in a movie. I'm sorry. It doesn't do it for me. Fights with no stakes don't mean anything. They look pretty, but whoop-de-fucking-do. And I'm sorry, but the end fight between Anakin and Obi-Wan, it looks pretty.
Yeah.
But it goes on about 15 minutes too long. And it's just them blowing themselves with cool kung fu lightsaber moves. Whoop-de-fucking-do.
Well, they never had that. They never had that in the original trilogy. They actually, it was like...
they didn't fight like...
It was like
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. It was more like fencing. Yeah, exactly.
So I thought the fight with
I think Darth Maul
in the first one was good.
In KOTOR 2.
The Darth Maul first
Star Wars anything
was decent. But get rid of the pod racing and all the other horse shit that built up the
like I said, combine one and two. Combine the stories of episode... Ron, you are my father. Nice, Matthew. combine the stories of episode one and episode two. Combine the character of Obi-Wan from episode one and episode two with the character of Qui-Gon Jinn.
Get rid of half the... 90% of the political intrigue.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. And...
we know where it's going.
You do this monumental disservice to the character of Obi-Wan, who...
I liked him in the second one. His whole, like, I'm investigating things. I think it was a good direction, like, especially for the age that he was there. Like, he's probably almost 30. right? Because he's like 18-ish.
Yeah.
So he's probably like 28. Or, yeah, maybe even mid-30s. And he's just had his Padawan, like, sent off on his first mission solo. And so he gets to go out and be himself because he's been carrying this kid for all these years that his master had asked him to train. He didn't want that. And so now he gets to go out and he's like, I got all this training and now I get to go out and do something myself.
But he did. And this is, again, this is part of why I say they shouldn't have had episode one. Initially, he was like, no, we need to listen to the council. We need to not train him and blah, blah, blah. But what happens at the end of the first movie? He goes along with Qui-Gon's idea.
Yeah, because he died in his arms.
Completely against Obi-Wan's actual character. Mm-hmm. Obi-Wan is not a character who would fucking disobey the Jedi Order. I'm sorry, but he wouldn't.
Right.
But he did.
You're really passionate about Star Wars.
Thank you.
I get, the less of a shit I give. Like, there's so many people who are so whiny about it online that I just stopped caring. Like, I don't fucking care that it hurt your childhood.
My thing is not that I'm whiny about it. It's that it's, I call it the Suicide Squad litmus test. And it is, Suicide Squad was one of the first movies that I noticed it with. And Matthew, I'm going to throw you under the bus on this one, but Matthew really enjoyed the Suicide Squad movie. And I did not.
Because it's a fucking music video. So,
thank you.
It's it was like a montage.
It was not a movie. It was a montage.
Yeah. I didn't hate it, but I didn't.
It was the first montage, like team building montage. I fell asleep through. I fell asleep before the end of it because it was just so fucking long.
I believe it.
Who else do we need? We need this guy. We need this guy.
For some reason, we need a fucking boomerang guy.
The first like 15 minutes of the movie are literally just like a sequence of music videos introducing character. It's weird. And I don't understand how a movie operates that way.
But like, every scene is like its own.
You know who could have pulled it off? Was Gunn.
Imagine that. I hope he does. I hope this next one works out.
So
I hope it brings DC out of their. I mean, they've been getting out of their funk.
Is Gunn doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about this, didn't we?
Dude, it looks fantastic.
Yeah, they're done filming, I think.
It looks great.
The Suicide Squad. Not some fucking Birds of Prey, the Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. Like,
Harley Quinn is back and Rick Flagg is back. So it's kind of a sequel, but it's kind of.
Okay, I might watch because
I will watch it. I trust
James
Gunn.
I don't know him.
I can't find anything wrong with Guardians, any of the Guardians movies.
The first one especially. So the first one is good.
It's on point the whole way through.
It's what I call my Suicide Squad litmus test. And it's the problem that I
Michael have. Rooker in the second one, though, man. Sorry, I didn't mean.
No, you're 100% right. Michael Rooker in most things.
Mallrats.
Fucking Slither.
He elevated.
He was so good.
Walking Dead when he came back to Walking Dead too.
Yeah, he did, and he went out like a champ.
So I had this problem with Suicide Squad. I had this problem not with The Force Awakens, but I had it with The Last Jedi. And then when I watched Rise of Skywalker, it compounded it more. I've never thought that the prequels were really great movies per se, but
they feel like Star Wars.
They feel like Star Wars. They have some high points. They have some things going for them. Even if they're, like I said, the lightsaber fights between Anakin and Obi-Wan in episode 3 are really cool. They're not what I really want out of a Star Wars movie, because to me, the best lightsaber fight in any Star Wars movie is the fight between Luke and Vader in the cave. And it happens for like no time because it has weight. Those laser swords shouldn't be a fucking ballet. It should be, boom, oh shit, I just cut you in half. Because that was how they were in the original trilogy.
No, I like the one in Phantom Menace. It's the best part of Phantom Menace by a long shot. I like Ray Park.
It's paced really, really well. It's a battle that gives you high points and you're catching your breath and then you breathe for
there's
a second.
So much,
there's a lot of suspense to it.
Yes.
And there's character revelation.
Yes.
You see,
they tell a story through the fight.
That's what they should have done with all of them. So there is no story in Anakin.
No, there's not. It's just Obi-Wan. Pretty visuals.
It's just over and over.
Let's make this look pretty and kung fu-y and The Matrix.
I don't need so much Mustafar.
Yes. But my thing is
I wonder what their music is like.
When I watch those movies every time, and it first happened, like I said, it first happened with Suicide Squad, but every subsequent time that I watched the movie, I liked it less. And I found myself discovering it wasn't like a movie like where I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that. I love that. Oh, what a cute little tie. And it was a movie where I literally, the more that I watched it, I found more wrong with it.
Everything J.J. Abrams does that to me. Every time I see one of his movies, it degrades. It's like
not everything, but close. Yeah.
I haven't seen anything that he's done. And there may be something I haven't seen that doesn't do that. But every movie of his that I've seen, the Star Trek movies, like as soon as something stops making sense, they just cut to a new thing or somebody has to run somewhere.
Star Trek's not supposed to be action, man. They should not have given J.J. Abrams Star Trek because it's not supposed to be an action movie.
No.
It never was and it never fucking will be.
Nope. Wrath of Khan was where Star Trek peaked. Seven of Nine is where it peaked. She's fantastic.
Deep Space Nine is like arguably the best Star Trek content, in my opinion. It's that and TNG are kind of.
Oh, yeah. DS9 is great.
I didn't watch DS9, but I did watch a lot of Next Generation.
That's worth your time. Like, start to finish, it's probably the best series.
It's more even.
I have a soft spot for Voyager because I enjoyed Voyager. Like, I like the idea of it. And so I forgive a lot more than I would because. You know, they're lost somewhere where there is no Federation presence. Yeah. And there's too many times where it's like, well, things are bad, so they get saved by the Federation. Like, this is like something breaks down. They have to, you know, kit bash something together to make it work. And I dug that idea. So I enjoy Voyager. But dollars to donuts, DS9 is the best series. It's not my favorite, but it is the best.
It's the most consistent.
Speaking of Star related stuff. Did you guys ever watch the Stargate series?
Nope. I watched speaking of Kurt Russell.
A little tiny baby bit. My stepdad actually has the entirety of Stargate SG-1 and Stargate Atlantis on DVD.
So do we.
Do you? Okay.
We bought every season like by the season and then eventually as will happen when you have a 10 season series, the packaging changes. So our packaging on the DVDs changed throughout the process. So I ended up taking it to a pawn shop and got a good deal. Thanks, Jason Phipps. On the pawn price. And so I ended up getting basically what it cost to purchase a box set of the first or the whole initial series at PawnCon. So he paid me in pawn what I paid for the whole box set of the series. And we haven't opened it since we had it because it's been streamable, but it's one of those ones. It doesn't hold up very well. There's some good episodes, but it's,
I just don't care. Decent. What was that guy?
Like
who was
Richard Dean Anderson?
Yes. Thank you.
Oh, he got so fat. Poor guy. He was like in good shape during that show. And then he just like,
yes, Matthew, you can.
He got heavy.
Did he?
Can I eat some Doritos? Richard Dean Anderson?
Yeah.
Yeah. MacGyver?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got heavy.
Oh, man. Well,
I don't need to see it.
I don't know that I'd say fat, but he was not in MacGyver shape anymore. That's for sure.
No, he's out of I don't judge. I think he's actually got some sort of like health condition that.
No excuse. No excuse. We know too much about nutrition. We know too much about exercise. We know too much about how to do it. It's all effort at this point.
Richard Dean Anderson died?
No. Unless he died today.
No, it still is. Was that one of the suggested things? Wow, he really did not.
Okay, so he's really gained weight since Stargate. Then,
well, see,
that mullet.
The one I'm hovering over.
Yeah, that's
is what 2004. That was Stargate era.
That's what I remember from Stargate. The one that's over there, all the way on the right,
where he's got that dad coat on.
I don't know about that's holy shit, man.
Yeah, No, he started to like puff up a little bit.
Wasn't
like
that
this
the beginning
toward
of Jason
the end of his run
career?
On Stargate? Yeah, Atlantis was.
Yeah, it's Atlantis. Yeah, yeah, I thought so.
They're not bad. They're not.
I
bad
never
would have
guessed
you
he was going to get as just huge. Because like you look at that Baywatch Hawaii, he's just he looks like a scrawny tall kid.
It's
and like I don't like he hit a second puberty or something, and he,
it's not a popular opinion.
See, MacGyver is a
yes,
as a heavy guy.
Doritos, Matthew. Yes, on the Doritos. You are a go on the Doritos.
It lagged.
We are go on Doritos.
We are go on Cool Ranch Doritos.
I'm always a go on Cool Ranch Doritos.
I really think that like Jason Momoa might be the most accurate depiction of reverse like sexism and sexual exploitation in our current modern time.
Really?
I really firmly think he's talentless.
Oh.
I think he literally coasts on the fact that like 80% of the women on your Facebook feed are like goosh in their panties over him.
Oh, they all go whap on
yeah.
him. Yeah.
But it took
bringing it back.
Listen, it took 15 years though before they found like before because he was Atlantis for five seasons on Atlantis.
It took him taking his clothes off for a big budget Hollywood production.
I think
spoiler alert, how many times have you heard that about a young woman in Hollywood where she showed her boobs and now she's a big star?
I think his Khal Drogo is fantastic. But other than that, I didn't like his Conan. I didn't see Aquaman. But I did see him in the other one, and he seemed like a cool guy, but I just don't care. Like,
it's been so long since I've watched him in Atlantis that I couldn't say if he was a good actor or a bad actor.
I don't think he's a good actor.
I don't think that's what he gets work for. Though.
In everything that I've ever seen him in, I don't think he's been a good actor. He has a good serious face.
Yeah, that's all he needed for Khal Drogo.
And
he was perfect for Khal Drogo.
He is a mountain of a man with an exotic look, and he looks mean even when he's trying to fuck you.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Like,
have you seen that?
I think it's a really, really. Like I said, I think it's a really prime example of I don't know what to call it other than like
reverse
sexism. Is like. He
holds a firearm well.
He and his big beastly muscles and his steely fucking gaze are objectified in the exact same way that the chick from God damn it, what's her name? She was in True Detective.
Oh, and Alexandra Daddario.
Yeah, the chick with the bright eyes and the big chest.
Yeah.
That's all she is.
Yeah.
She's not an actress. She's bright eyes and a big chest.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'd watch her in just about anything because you don't expect anything out of women.
And so would most people because she's bright eyes and a big chest, which is what they put her in movies for.
Yeah. And that's okay. That's okay, ladies. If that's all you have to offer, offer it.
Yeah, he's got that show C. I have yet to watch C because I feel
like... Is that the Apple Plus one?
That's the Apple Plus one.
Hard pass.
Have you watched it?
For one, I heard it was bad. And for two, I have no interest in Apple Plus.
I have no interest in paying for another fucking streaming service.
I have Apple Plus.
Really?
There's some good content on there.
I heard
but
there
it's
was
hit
not
and
much.
Miss. Mythic Quest is great. That's Ron McElhenney.
Is that the dudes from Always Sunny, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I heard about that.
That's a good show.
I didn't realize that was on Apple Plus.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And then there's a great Beastie Boys documentary.
I watched that, but it was not on there. It was on,
through other means.
I found a way on the internet.
Have some more of this.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Very much. And I am what I would consider like a casual Beastie Boys.
I was too. I am too.
Beastie Boys. I admire them.
I went down
I
a rabbit
them.
Hole after I saw that show. But watching that was really revelatory because it was like a lot of stuff I didn't know.
They're a musical group that I respect the shit out of, but I'm not necessarily as big of a fan of as I respect them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, other than maybe No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
No Sleep Till Brooklyn is a great song.
Fight for Your Right has its moments. Like it's one of those.
They don't identify with that anymore, though.
At the right time, that's a fantastic song. At the wrong time, it sucks balls. You just have to. It has to hit you in the right, exact right mood. Like just a little nostalgia.
The thing
just
about
a little
it
bit
is,
of beer.
It's a parody. Like it's a satire.
Yeah,
it's not a parody. It's a satire. Excuse me, but it's.
It was. It started. If I remember right, the way they did it,
the song
for that was
they
did
it
as
done as a satire.
It
was,
but it won. It won.
But it's what got
it won over that demographic.
Intergalactic.
That's a great song.
I like Intergalactic.
That album actually.
Intergalactic
Planetary. That album fucking bangs. What is?
No.
Find everything on the internet.
What is that goddamn Brooklyn song that I'm thinking of? Sabotage is a classic.
Yes.
But that's not the one that I'm thinking of. It is. Hey, ladies.
Hey,
ladies. Hey, ladies.
Ladies.
No, they were another band that, speaking of, I watched a video on YouTube the other day that made me think of you, Chris.
Uh-oh, this could go any way.
So we talk about other YouTube channels while we're on here, and I think that it's one that I've mentioned to you, the Wrestling with Regret.
Uh-huh.
He does retrospective videos about all sorts of shit. And one of the recent ones that he did was the stint of ICP in
WWE or just
not just in professional wrestling in general from their time in ECW and WWE and yada, yada, yada. And talk about a trip down memory lane.
No kidding.
It was so funny watching them come out with the oddities. I was like, oh my God, remember the oddities?
The oddities? The Kurgan?
That was a thing that happened.
Kurgan ended up in the fucking...
Did you know that Kurgan was like pre-oddities poised for like one of the biggest pushes they were going to give someone at the time?
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll be goddamned. That dude ended up in that Sherlock Holmes movie.
The one with Robert Downey Jr.? Yeah, mm-hmm. He did. You're right.
Yeah, he's the big bad guy.
Yeah, you're right.
Not the big bad, but he was the big bad guy.
Yeah, no.
Bad guy. Yeah. I got to put the emphasis on the right syllable. But
I love that.
I don't care how much anybody hates him. I have a soft spot for Juggalos because they're so fucking nice to each other.
I admire their passion.
The ability to speak Juggalo that I got from you, like, got me so much shit in the army. Like, we had a supply guy dumber than a bowl full of dicks, but he was a Juggalo and I could speak Juggalo. And so I got so much free shit.
Education.
So I had a customer and she's probably never going to see this, but she had a chest
probably
tattoo.
She will never.
She had a chest tattoo right down here. And if you're familiar with ICP at all, you'll know what the Hatchet Man symbol is. But she had the Hatchet Man symbol tattooed on her fucking chest. Tight. Like anytime that you're wearing a tank top or anything, people are going to see this shit. It's
people
hardcore.
Know.
And then below that,
fucking down with the clown. Like
in a half moon thing, it said Juggalette. And I figured out. People at work would complain about how cheap she was because she's kind of ghetto, but whatever. But she wouldn't tip. But I figured out that if I acknowledged the ICP and I just kind of, as you said, like leaned into that.
Spoke a little Juggalo.
If I would say whoop whoop, I got a dollar instead of a no tip. Like, I'm not fucking lying.
No.
They have this. It's okay. So in the, I, as you know, I was the marketing director at the Harley shop here in town for almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
They are the most inclusive group of people I've ever met in my life. Like if you, I'm not saying they're a gang YouTube, but
however,
they welcome you in like one. Yeah. And when you are fucking in, you are fucking in.
Yeah.
And
if,
they will.
If someone knows that you're down with the clown, you can toss a fucking lyric or two.
Yes. Yes.
Life changing.
If someone asks you what is a juggalo and you can answer anything,
any of the proper callbacks, any
of the appropriate responses of
I don't know. Well, that's what it is, but fuck if I know.
What is it?
A Hulkamaniac.
Power bombs motherfuckers in the thumbtacks. If you can answer any kind of thing with that, you are in.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how fucking, because I'm sorry, I am a lame, skinny, fucking white bread motherfucker. I do not look like somebody who is down with the clown, so to speak.
You are exactly who is down with the clown. Most juggalos I've met are lame, skinny, white dudes. And that's how they, found.
I'm a skinny white dude, but I didn't think I was that lame. But
I thought you said lame.
No.
What? That was the first word you used. No, did you say pale? What was the first word?
I just said I'm a skinny white dude.
I heard a first one.
Did I say lame?
I think so. You said something. Anyway, but yeah, that's the standard, because it's like some dude who's stuck in the Midwest and just he knows what Fago is, and they speak to the fact that he wants to be something more. That's all this kid was.
Yeah.
And he was just nice as can be, but extra nice to me because I could speak juggalo. Bow time.
Thank you. Thank you, Jake. Yes. Drink
mother,
Fago.
Mother fricker.
Matthew, watch your language.
I said fricker.
Bow time.
But we all know what he's saying. Dude, did you know you know this, Chris, because we used to do it together, but you used to be able to get Fago at the grocery outlet.
Yeah,
I don't know if you still can.
The dollar store, too.
Yeah.
You remember you go in there and you get two bottles for a dollar.
Mm-hmm. Two liters.
My only problem with Fago is it's too lightly carbonated. I like my soda to have a little burn to it, and Fago didn't have that.
No.
Their orange was great, though.
It's better than Shasta, though.
Yep.
I don't even know what Fago is.
It's like Shasta.
It's a brand of soda. It's a ghetto brand of soda.
Cheap ass brand of soda. Like, it's not Coke or Pepsi.
Yeah.
You don't like Shasta?
No.
Not compared to Coke and Pepsi.
And not compared to Fago.
And not compared to Fago.
Although, admittedly, there was probably like a subconscious.
Does Fago have a Dr. Pepper knockoff?
I'm sure. Probably. They do. I don't know. You'd have to
Google. Because Shasta's diet Dr. Pepper is pretty on point.
You'd have to Google what the name is, but I don't even remember what the name of Fago's fake Mountain Dew was at this exact moment. But
no, not off the top of my dome.
It was good, I know that. And I drank a lot of it when I played Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
I've never drank it. Just know they love it.
Jake, you're missing out. It's good.
It is. It's a good knockoff soda. If you're not going for one of the big two, one of them that's under the umbrella of the big two, I guess I should say.
To throw it to the real ghetto folks that are listening.
Is they the right pronoun for a juggalo?
I think so.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
I don't know. I think it's just juggalo and juggalette, but I don't think there's a particular pronoun.
To throw it to the real ghetto folks who are listening, of the two of you that are watching, Jake and Matthew, because I know you're the only two watching.
My son popped on earlier to tell us to go to bed.
What is a juggalo?
Fago is better than Shasta, worse than Coke or Pepsi. Think of it as like,
it's better than the Albertsons brand.
That's what I was trying to weigh. Is it better? That's literally what I was weighing.
I think.
Is it better than the Albertsons brand?
I think all of them depend
I think it's on par with.
On what you're getting, because like I don't like Albertsons cream soda. I would much rather have A&W. I'm a huge fan. Ugh. Yeah.
So before we get out of here,
yes,
pre-leaving,
Keanu Reeves.
Oh, this replicant thing you were talking
have
about.
Have you seen the movie Replicas yet?
No, I'm familiar. I've heard of it, but I haven't actually watched it yet.
So. I watched it the other day.
He made this movie like 2 years ago.
Yeah. Well, it just came up
it sat on shelves like for a little
HBO.
While before. Yeah. They couldn't find a distributor for it.
It's because it's weird. It's So, spoiler alert, Keanu Reeves works in this facility. And we all know Chris doesn't care about spoilers, so it's okay.
He doesn't.
Keanu Reeves works in this facility. And
do they kill his dog? John Wick spoiler.
He works with none other than Thomas Middleditch of HBO fame from Silicon Valley. Yeah. He's in it. And he works in this place that is trying to upload a person's consciousness onto a Android. Onto a like a.
It's what my son wants to do with his life.
Yeah.
Like
to develop that transcendence. Fucking, yeah, transcendence was awesome.
Yeah, what is it called?
It kind of fell apart at the end, but it was a good premise.
I would like to do that if it became available before I, shook loose this mortal coil. But
I'm on the fence about that, man. I don't know. A little peace and quiet doesn't sound bad.
Well, there's those days too where I just want it. Like, can you unplug me for a few days?
I have whole days where I want life to be over, but.
But yeah,
I also want to live forever. That, so,
what is that called? The other than transcendence, what was that? What's the term for that?
Immortality?
No. Well, yeah, but no. The technological
term. Oh, the singularity.
Singularity. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I whenever I like go to talk about this, I can't pull the word singularity out my fucking ass.
That's all right.
But yeah, that's always been.
We missed its predicted date, too.
Did we?
By a long shot. 8 years already.
Yeah, we missed the flying
cars. We're 8 years too. Behind. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, so the whole idea is like the brain doesn't die after the body dies as long as it hasn't, like, something hasn't shot him in the head or something like that. So they, but the problem that they're having is the consciousness can't reconcile with the fact that it's a robot. So then it starts to like tear itself apart.
Okay.
All right. Which sounds fun.
That sucks.
Sounds.
So that's their sticking point.
That's the
like
problem.
As the technology.
Yeah. That's the sticking point for the technology. Okay. So then,
so don't give it hands.
So Reeves has the, yeah, no shit.
Sorry.
My so out Reeves of the has this,
don't give it
hands. This asshole boss. That's like, you need to get this figured out because our shareholders want you to get this figured out.
Mm-hmm.
But then he goes on vacation. Then he's going on vacation with his family, primarily so that he can wreck in a car accident. His wife can get a stab punctured through her chest, die, and then her kids drown, and then his three kids drown in the back seat. So then it's got footage of him like packing the last of four dead bodies from the,
I was gonna say, his whole the water. Fucking family? Jesus.
Yeah, Christ. His whole family dies.
Wow.
That sounds.
Then it occurs to him that his buddy Middleditch has, he can also clone. This is something that isn't revealed at the beginning of the fucking movie, but they can also clone, and they can clone a human being within like 17 days.
Dude, I want to see this movie.
It's, what is what sounds which great. One of your it's multitude like, of streaming services is this on?
This is on HBO.
Oh damn it. I'll have to download it. This sounds great.
You need to watch it.
I want to see this. This it's sounds like, awesome.
It's, and they can figure out whether they want to be like a they want it to be a comedy.
Yeah.
Or this like tragic.
Okay. Like, nothing you've said thing. Has made me think that this could possibly be a comedy. There's this
back and
apart.
Forth between Middleditch, and he's like, you want me to clone a human? It's kind of like, I mean, this really like bizarre dialogue written between like Middleditch and Keanu Reeves. It's like almost like a Weekend at Bernie's type.
Wow.
Interesting. Deal.
So Middleditch is like, yeah, I can clone. What about it? And he's like, it's like,
what about it?
And so he's like, well, we're going to clone my dead family. Is the movie bad?
Yeah.
You can watch it. It's terrible. Watchable. It's not a good movie, but it's entertaining. I can't say I'm disappointed I watched. I'm happy that I watched it.
I think I'll read a synopsis and call it good.
I'm giving you the synopsis right now. You can call it good with what.
Okay.
So then what are you doing?
Well, your premise reminded me of a movie that I saw that is just like, what? That's the fucking premise of your movie kind of thing. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. So continue. So anyway, he's like, yeah, sure. I can clone. We can clone your family. Yeah. And then he's like, oh, by the by, you have, three kids and a wife. I've only got three pods. Pods are expensive, bro. We can't. I can get another pod in this amount of time, but that's too late. So
wives are
replaceable. You're going to have to choose.
That's where my brain goes.
Which one of your four family members you're not going to clone, and then insert their? Because what he did was he had his car loaded with the fucking bullshit that he could extract their consciousness from the brain.
Okay,
which is like a little like eye needle that pokes into their head and sucks it out. And so he does this and he like sucks out their fucking, their essence. Right. So then he's got the three pods.
Their mojo.
Yeah. And his buddy brings the pods. Middle Ditch brings the pods over to Keanu's house and they put them in the basement. And he's like, so then he's raising these embryo.
Does he try clones. To put two in one?
They're like Siamese twins. There's a whole scene where he's crying about like leaving his youngest daughter behind.
He picked his wife?
He left the youngest
one? Fuck you, Keanu Reeves' character.
No, wait. He put all their names on a... On a thing, this was the other thing.
Did he randomize it?
He drew them out of a hat.
No! And you do not do that.
He tried to make
Keanu Reeves' character... You fucking dick.
Okay. He tried to make Reeves. Okay. Or he tried to make... You see where I'm going? Where you see what you get it now? He's like, you got to pick one. He's
God,
like,
I want to see
and Middle Ditch is like, no, man. No. That's on you. You pick the name. I'm not doing that. Oh. So then he picks it. And he picks his daughter, who we've already seen throughout the course of the beginning part of the movie. She's drawing pictures and leaving them around as reminders that she exists.
Oh, man. Oh, this sounds wonderful.
And she's drawing on the table and shit. So, I mean, you can see there's like this blueprint of a like real heartfelt movie that was poorly executed.
Yeah. This seems like it failed in the direction. You should have done a couple more fucking.
This sounds like a director who didn't know what the screenwriter wanted to do with their movie what it sounds like.
And so.
And the director, vision was fueled mostly by wanting to buy a pound of cocaine.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Like,
so he gets. Anyway, so he brings the three of them back, right?
Unacceptable.
And then it turns out that his boss is actually in the weapons business. And the whole idea is to create bring these people back, bring back the best pilots, bring back the best blah, blah, blah to pilot unmanned machines and stuff to take out people. And so that was the whole like premise. And so he was basically baiting Keanu Reeves. He knew all along that Keanu Reeves had like cloned his family. Mm-hmm. And was like, yeah, those got to go. But in the meantime, this is what we're all about. And so you got to give me the algorithm. That was what they called it. It was like, you got to give me the algorithm.
This
and he's like, I got amazing. The algorithm in my head. So you can't kill me. And so.
This sounds great.
And so then he gives them the algorithm. And the whole thing. But basically, ultimately, it ends up being like. The whole it circles back and he survives with his family, creates another version of himself, finally figures out the fucking workaround to get his consciousness get a consciousness to work on a machine with himself. So he's got robot Keanu Reeves that's helping fight the battle with real Keanu Reeves who's still alive. So they're both and then robot Keanu Reeves is like, take your family. Go live your life with your family. And then somewhere along the line ends up cloning the other kid.
There's no version of me that would do that for another version of me.
Right.
I would find myself insufferable. Yeah. Like if I put myself into a robot body while I was still alive and my real me was still here, my robot me would tear me apart.
Yeah.
He'd be like, fuck you, dude. I'm the real Huds now.
It's like the, what's that movie with, or what's that series with Paul Rudd? on Netflix. Did you watch that one?
Oh yeah, that was good. I love Paul Rudd though.
Beside Myself or
whatever.
Something with Yourself.
What was it called?
It doesn't matter.
But anyway,
it's like six episodes of greatness. It was fantastic.
It was good.
So anyway, if you go to YouTube and you search for a little movie that came out in 1987 called Rotor.
I think I've seen that.
This is what it reminded me of when you were talking about
Rotor.
Rotor, R-O-T-O-R, stands for Robotic Officer of the Tactical Operations Reserve Unit. It's a robot police officer. It's basically like a wannabe
RoboCop,
right? But what this reminded me of...
But you can't top Peter Weller.
No, you can't. And this movie is fucking fantastic, but it does not touch RoboCop. RoboCop
still gets a 35%, which is high.
RoboCop
on the tomato meter
is, again, with, in my opinion, Ghostbusters, Gremlins, Back to the Future. Mm. Like, perfect movies. I would challenge someone to find something wrong with them.
I don't know. Back to the Future, he almost fucks his mom. That's weird.
Yeah, it's weird, but yeah, you know, it's you know. But anyway, so what it reminded me of was your comment at the very beginning of the premise of the movie about how they have this imperfect technology and then his family dies, so they have to just kind of wing it. Well, the premise of Rotor is that the main character, whose character name, I shit you not, is Dr. Barrett Coldiron.
That's the most
badass fucking name I've ever heard. But anyway, Dr. Barrett Coldiron is both a doctor and a police officer. And he is not only a cop, but he is like part of spearheading the scientific creation of this robotic police officer. So he's a fucking wunderkind, basically. And he and his group are supposed to create the Rotor machine through government grants, and it's going to revolutionize the police force and whatnot. And the movie opens with them having a conference call with the bigwigs in Washington about their progress on Rotor. And you get this really, really cute, like, it's just a fucking puppet on a string in front of a green screen that looks like a RoboCop body, and they move it around and it does fun things. But they talk about how they're like 20 to 25 years away from perfecting this science. Mm-hmm. And then a couple things happen in the movie. And then Dr. Coldiron gets a phone call from the same people in his office where the Washington bigwigs are explaining to him. Now, keep in mind, they're 20 to 25 years away from perfecting this technology. And he gets a phone call from the bigwigs in Washington who are like, hey, we have this guy that's part of our committee who's trying to launch himself into the White House, and he wants to be eligible for this year's run. So you now have 60 days to complete the process. So they bump it from 20 years to 2 months. And everything goes awry from
thanks,
there.
80s.
But it's fucking great. So the cop has no understanding of what the law is. He tries to pull this couple over who are allegedly speeding. And he just shoots the guy driver for speeding, basically. Yeah. And when the girl tries to run away, then he starts chasing her to kill her. And he's like,
he's got a sidearm full of friends that can run faster than she.
There's a whole scene in Replicas where Middle Ditch is like, and you got your generator. And Keanu Reeves is like, what do I need a generator for? And he's like, well, you can't lose power on these pods.
So you know that they're going
to
lose power.
And so then he's like, oh, well, where am I supposed to go to get a generator? And then he's like,
fucking Costco.
Then he grabs his keys. And then he's like, as he's getting ready to leave, it's the middle of the night. And
he's like the Ted Theodore Logan of fucking scientists.
Yeah, as he's getting ready to leave, he's like, anything else? Like a real kind of like dickhead. Like,
what else am I fucking need?
What else do I need? Guy that brought over the cloning pods.
Johnny Utah's got to get his shit.
And help me hide the bodies of my dead family.
Oh, man.
So he heads off and he goes through the neighborhood and steals all the neighborhood people's batteries from their cars.
Oh.
To build a generator from car batteries.
You can do that, folks.
What?
Yeah, so go steal your...
What?
Don't.
I don't know how they figured out the
that
science
just
of it.
Fucking broke my what brain. Kind of, I'm sorry. I want to see this movie so bad.
What kind of bass backwards Iron Man great, bullshit this, is this?
Just so you know, Ward, this sounds like a movie that is so up my alley. I don't have the adjectives. I love this kind of shit.
Up your alley, it could tell you if you had polyps.
The less sense that a movie makes, and the more that I'm like, what? The more I love it.
Then they give a whole scene to the cops showing up and being like, hey, all the neighbors said their batteries were stolen. Counter is like, not mine. He's like, well, you were the lucky one. We'll see you later, I guess.
Yeah, and I parked my car in the garage.
I want to see this movie.
Like, why?
This sounds great.
Yeah.
Why did that even need to be there?
I parked my car in the garage. I guess I was okay.
This sounds great.
There's no conflict after that. The cops aren't like, well, I got to investigate this further. He's just like, see you later.
Can I watch Rotor?
No.
No.
Sorry.
No, I was 6 years old when it came out, and I couldn't watch it then. But I think I did.
But I think Ward's about to show the preview for it.
Yeah, I want to watch the trailer. I've never seen it.
It's, man.
I can be able to tell you after this if I...
Now on Blu-ray.
Yep.
Scream Factory comes out with some shit.
25 years in the future. The ultimate weapon against crime will be the judge,
that's a cute little thing.
Jury, and executioner. And it will not be human.
As much as I like retrofuturism, like the 50s version, I think the 80s version of the future is my favorite.
25 years too soon.
Fucking Blade Runner, Shadowrun.
Impossible.
Rotor.
Robotic.
It's okay.
Yeah, because somewhere along the line, they didn't think, they thought we'd always still have computer screens.
Yep.
Tactical. Operation. Research.
Oh, that reminds me. Rotor's custom-made motorcycle that is built for him, even though they're 20 to 25 years away from him being ready, for some reason the motorcycle is completely ready for him.
Was that Jake the Snake Roberts?
No. Yeah.
The perfect police officer.
He's going to make more noise than two skeletons having sex in a tin coffin.
Nice.
Yeah.
A prototype of what is to come.
What is it?
But
if Rotor sees a perp, he would fight his way through a bus full of nuns to get to it. He's
programming himself.
Like, yeah, dude, there are some really great one-liners in this movie.
Without flesh and blood. Rotor.
Yeah. Dude, we could do that.
Yeah, man.
We could do that whole fucking
thing. I forgot about that, though.
And it's on a double feature with Millennium?
Gonna make more noise than two skeletons having sex inside a tin coffin. Who the fuck writes that kind of shit? And kudos to them for writing it.
Good for you, 1987.
Judge, jury, and what executioner.
Can I watch Rotor?
Dude, it's great.
I have to watch it.
It's absolutely worth your time. It's...
You know,
your boy wants to watch it.
I know he does.
You know, if I tell Alex that he has to wait a few years to watch something, he just doesn't argue. It's awesome.
Yeah, he's like, my boys in
Matthew,
the same
way. Do you hear that?
They're like, okay, I guess.
I'll say, let me watch something first. I'll watch it this weekend. And if it's okay, we'll watch it when you're with me. And then I'll just be like, no, we can't watch that.
I did watch like, that. I did one's not my 12-year-old watch all of Breaking Bad.
The way that I try,
and he loves it.
The way that I try to explain it to him is, dude, there is so much content out there that you can watch. Why get caught up in the things that you can't? It's not like they're going anywhere. It's not like there's some expiration date on them. They'll still be there when you're actually old enough.
I don't know. Go watch He-Man again, and there's my expiration date on stuff.
Well, yeah, that's
my 12-year-old's ability to like understand what's going on with Breaking Bad, though, has been really phenomenal. Like, he's got like recall that I don't have. Like, he's bringing up stuff from the show, and I'm like, oh yeah,
yeah. That's right. I let him watch Stranger Things, and it worked out. But it was something that, you know, he had something in common with him. Like Breaking Bad, there's nothing there for kids. Like, I don't care if you're 12 or whatever. Like, there's just nothing there for you. It's not, and so he can hold off until he's 18 and make his own decisions. But like, there's a lot of things out there where it's like, oh, you know, you can watch how these kids who aren't like super popular have to deal with things like Cobra Kai. We went through the first two. He fell asleep during the second one, so we have to rewatch it. But we'll go through the movies, and then I'll let him watch them, or Cobra Kai, because I don't care if he hears the word fuck, because right. He's my kid. He's heard the word fuck like at least 7,000 times.
Mine too.
And but like, time not Alex. like violence is what I really have a problem with. And I don't think there's enough focus on that in this country. Like we've talked about like how did Hannibal make it on network television, right. Even after 9 o'clock, like that is so violent. And they're always worried about, oh, sex, but whatever. Like it's a huge part of life,
right?
No matter what, how you want to phrase it. Sex is a huge part of life. Violence is not.
One could argue sex is life. So
yeah, it's the whole reason we're here. It's banging. But but like if something hits that point where the violence is gratuitous, I just won't let him watch it. Right. Or if it's like so much gore for no reason, I just won't let him watch it.
Context plays a lot into it.
With violence?
Yeah. In my opinion. And honestly, with sex as well, like I'm far more comfortable with Matthew watching a show, you know, like, for example, like Stranger Things, which does actually have stuff of like young people kind of discovering sexual relationships and having their first kisses and stuff like that. Yeah. That's way different than something like. Well, like, for example, my mom and I were talking here. It was either yesterday or the day before, because she was going to watch Mad Max Fury Road.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't really want Matthew to watch that.
That movie is entirely gratuitous.
And she was like, well, what's in there that you're not okay with? And I was like, honestly, it's not really any one specific thing. But like the whole concept of like, this guy has brides and he feeds his subjugates her breast milk and he uses her as a brood mare. And so I was like, an 11-year-old doesn't really need to watch that kind of shit. Like, it's not like it shows him having sex with them. It's not like it really goes into that. It's the context and the subject.
Well, and matter. You think back, like they never really kept us from watching anything.
No,
and look at how I turned out.
I subscribed very, very strongly. My parents, it's the cover your eyes theory. If I cover your eyes, I'm covering them for a reason.
Mm.
Don't peek through. Otherwise, you can watch the rest of the movie.
Oh, and see,
peeked. That's why I watched Aliens when I was five.
there'd be movies I'd watch with my parents that it would almost be this, like, I'd turn to my dad with this kind of, like, embarrassed look, and he'd give me this, like, kind of.
The should I be seeing this?
Yeah. And my kids have done that now, like since with me. It's like,
yeah,
we were watching Yellowstone the other day, which is actually a decent show. It's up there with Justified.
Okay.
In terms of like the,
isn't that the one with Kevin Costner?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's so bad in everything but Mr. Brooks.
But fuck it, Cole Hauser. Cole Hauser's in the series.
Okay? And that woman from, she's also in Sherlock Holmes. Plays Watson's wife. What's her name? Is it Riley? Is her last name Riley?
I'd have to Google it. I don't know.
She was in Flight. She played the one that ended up with like shacking up with him.
Fuck. I'm looking. Oh, Kelly Riley.
Kelly Riley. Yeah, she's awesome.
She's great.
She's awesome in every performance.
She's one of the best parts in Yellowstone. Wes Bentley, I could take or leave.
One of the best parts of True Detective Season 2.
Yeah.
Like, she's just good at her job.
You mentioned Jurnhurst earlier. That's because I'm on the Sherlock Holmes cast.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great in Yellowstone.
And she gets thrown off a bridge really well.
Costner is,
can't say that about a lot of women,
is really secondary to the plot.
Is he?
For the, I mean, he's there because he's like the patriarch of the fucking series, but there's these other subplot characters that are just beautifully portrayed. And like Cole Hauser, if you've ever seen him doing, like, he was great in the
Pitch Black.
Pitch Black, also Paparazzi.
Yep.
Papa.
Not a good movie, but he was good in it.
He was good in it. Yeah,
he's in a, he's good, but in several bad movies.
Yeah, he's great in Yellowstone. They dye his hair black, which I looked past.
He was in a season of 24, wasn't he? That name sounds familiar, and I can't think of where I know him from.
He was in Good Will Hunting. Let me look up Cole Hauser real quick to see if he's in 24.
I don't know. Annabelle is asleep. Oh, all right.
Yay!
Matthew, are you still watching?
No, he wasn't. I don't think he was in 24. He's just kind of an uncomfortable looking dude.
Cole Hauser?
Yeah, he's got
that. He was great.
Who were we saying had that uncanny valley look? Oh, the kid that plays Johnny's kid.
Yeah, the kid from Cobra Kai.
He's got the same look.
He looks like a human Ken doll.
Doesn't he look fake in all of those photos? Yeah, not like a real
person.
That's weird.
He looks like one of those Madame Tussauds wax sculpture things.
Yeah.
I don't see that necessarily. All right, well.
That's funny.
Let's get on out of here.
In summation, watch Replicas, watch Rotor,
watch
Cobra Kai.
I want to circle back with you, Ron, after you've watched Replicas. Watch Replicas.
Dude, I'm
and learn some Juggalo speak.
It
could save your life.
Yeah, it could.
Especially if you're trekking across the Midwest.
No, I absolutely, before we do the next show, I need to watch Replicas because this sounds like something I would very much enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would enjoy talking with you about it for sure. So I'll talk on mic now. If you want to support us in some way, you can go to patreon.com/timespentpoorly. If you want to get on board with all of our social networks, go to timespentpoorly.com and you can subscribe right there. You can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and more. Watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Periscope, and Facebook every 2 weeks when we come on live and do these shows. The audio version is a great way to listen to the show, but if you want to interact with us, definitely check in live when we're live and chat in while we're talking about all the nonsense that we talk about. We had some fun this episode, so thanks again for joining us, and we will catch you next time. I've got old Huds at Huds Magruder here on my left. Have to learn my left and right again. And
you do.
Good old brother Ron has joined us for this episode. We've had a great extensive talk about a lot of things. I won't go into what because we're going to break this up into many. I'll tell you a secret, audio listeners. We break these episodes up into multiple episodes. So try and figure that one out. Anyway, thanks again for joining us. Thanks, Ron. Thanks, Huds.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a beautiful time.
And thanks to the three who are still watching.
Yeah.
Thanks for hanging in there.
I admire you.
It is late. Go to bed.